Welcome to this evening's proceedings, a retreat. We're continuing with our theme for the year 2x2 in 2022. And this evening we have with us Mama Ebele Okafor. She is the Continental Coordinator for the Americas. So that includes Canada, North America, South America, and the Caribbean, because we kind of straddle between the two. And so we just want to give a big welcome to Mama Ebele. Mama Ebele, welcome. We're looking forward to what the Lord would have shared with you to share with us. And we pray that, you know, you will speak as his oracle this evening. So Mama Ebele, without further ado, we welcome you to the platform. Welcome to the Caribbean another time. And I pray everyone's hearts will be open and ears will be open, spirits will be open to receive from the Lord this evening. Welcome again. Mama Ebele.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so sorry. So sorry, I was on mute. Thank you very much, Masha. I want to thank everybody that is present on this platform. And I'm bringing you greetings from the holy city of Jerusalem in Israel. It's 3:32 a.m. here. And I'm glad to be with you, to share with you. It's always a pleasure to be with you, especially you daughters from the Caribbean islands. I'm so, so proud of you. And I thank God for all that you're doing for the Lord, your commitment, your willingness to serve the Lord. When I read your invitation, I was so, so, so touched. And I saw the hearts that really, really love God. Hearts that really, really want to serve and to do the will of God and nothing else. Hearts that are really, really willing and ready to carry out the mandate that the Lord has given to the willing women worldwide. And so I thank you very much. And I'm so, so glad to be with you. I don't know what the Lord told you that made you come to the conclusion of your team 2x2 in 2020. But for me, I know that the number two is of great significance. It's very, very important, you know, the number two. It is also very significant in the in God's agenda for his well-meaning people. You know, it's very, very important because we cannot do anything by ourselves on our own, and it will be meaningful. I have never seen any project that has been carried out by one man. One man. Well, we may say, oh, this man started this, this man started, but he didn't complete it by himself. There are people somewhere along the line that helped him one way or the other. Even great musicians, they sing, yeah, they sing, but there are people who are helping him to project that talent, that song, bring it out. There are drummers, there are, you know, singers, backup singers and all that and all that. And so it is with the work of the willing women and every other work. Okay, they may say, oh, Mama Ebele has done this, Mama Ebele. It's not true. Mama Ebele couldn't have done anything without the help of the others. And nobody can do anything without having people. God always assigns people to help prosper a work, complete a task. So there must be two, at least two people at any point in time to be able to carry out any mandate, to be able to carry out any project. Think about it. So two is very important. Okay, even in Genesis, in creation, you know, when God created, even before God started, he said, let us. He didn't say, let me, you know, do this or do that. Anyway, when he created man, he looked at man and saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. At least two. We need help. People need help to accomplish a task. Okay? So God, even in creation, understood the need for two people to be, because two people, you have to have somebody to interact with. You have to have somebody to brainstorm with. You have to have somebody to discuss with, right? So two is very, very important. If you look at Genesis again, chapter 6 from 17 to 20, you see how God, after when he was about to destroy the world with water, you know, he instructed Noah, you know, to bring in animals in twos. In twos, if he is bringing in a goat, he must bring the goat's partner. There must be somebody of like mind, somebody of same interest, somebody of same category or level or whatever that can interact with each other. I hope you are following me, you know. So I'm just pointing out the significance of two, because you as a human being cannot begin to interact with an animal, a goat, you know, something else. So you must have at least one other person for you to agree with on anything or do anything. You see this English adage that says, it takes two to tango in every situation. It takes two to tango, either negatively or positively. It's always taking two to tango. So you don't just see yourself. No, but God has not created us to be loners. No single person can achieve anything effectively, you know, without a partner. All right? And you see, the Bible teaches us that, I mean, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, you see that two, one can chase a thousand, one person can chase a thousand. And two people can put 10,000 to flight. You see, it's always good to be two. In every situation, in every circumstance, in everything that you do, two people. I know that sometimes it's good for us to have one-on-one with God, alone with God, yes. But when it comes to an assignment, a project, or whatever, like in Wailing Women Worldwide, our mandate demands that we must be one. It's not a one-man show. It cannot be a one-man show, you know. At least two people must be involved in an assignment. Even God himself, when he sent out his disciples, okay, in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 1, he sent them out in twos. Am I right? He sent them out in twos. And that tells me a lot. You see, when we are serving the Lord, we need to follow his spirit, need to follow what he is doing, need to follow what he is saying. We need to go into the scripture and see how things were done or how God expects us to do things so that we'll do it right. Because we have to do things according to the ordinances of God. Because he owns the business we are doing. He owns the work we are doing, and he knows the way. And if you deviate from the way the standard, the foundation, the pattern that he has laid, then you'll be on your own. You'll be running round and round the circle. You may not even achieve your goal. And what sense does it make if you don't achieve your goal? Eh? If you run this race and run this race and at the end of the time, you achieve nothing. It makes no sense. Okay, so we must follow God's standard. We must work according to, and in this work of the willing women, we must really, really be careful. And because I see your heart, and I know that you want to do things right, you want to achieve God's aim, you want to carry out God's mandate, you want to please him. And so we need to know the truth. And we need to know how things are done in order to succeed in whatever we're doing, so that our labors will not be in vain. Does it make sense that you at the end of the day, your labor is in vain? No. And of course, the God we are serving assured us that we are not serving him in vain. And the only way, the only time you will not serve him in vain is when you serve him according to his ordinances. Amen. I want all of us to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I want us to all pay attention to this because it kind of summarizes everything that I know we are talking about in this thing. And we're going to read it from two versions. Jackie, please permit us to interact. I want somebody to read. Lizzie, if you can read for me, I won't mind. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Let's see what it says. You know, read it from King James first. And I will ask Marsha to read it from New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 12. Liz, are you there? Do you hear me? Hello? I don't hear you. Unmute yourself, Liz.
Sister Liz,
unmute yourself. You are
Liz
muted.
Liz Perkins. And Sister Marsha.
Sister Marsha, are you there?
I'm here. Should I go first?
Okay, let me save our time and read.
Should I go first?
Oh, okay, go ahead, Marsha, if you, yeah, from New Living Translation.
So 9 to 12, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Amen. Hallelujah. Liz, are you on now? Otherwise, don't worry. We can work with this. I think this spelled it out very well. You know? Two people are better than one. This is not our words, okay? For they can help each other succeed. What are we talking about here? Success. We need to succeed in whatever we are doing, okay? And it cannot be done by one person. If one person falls, you know how it is. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we are demoralized. Sometimes we are discouraged. And if you are two, somebody will say, come on, get up, let's move on. Let's don't stay here, get up and let's keep going, you know? So, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble, you know? Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, you know? Yeah, we always encourage one another. We always support one another. You know, even financial, when I'm talking about this, it's not just lying down. And yes, I know physically that's what it is, but you support each other, support one another, spiritually, you know, emotionally, socially, you know, and otherwise, even financially. Sometimes we may have an assignment to do. We may have an assignment to do and your partner does not have the money and you can afford to sponsor the two of you. My goodness. If you have that understanding and that mindset, let's keep on moving. Let's keep on going, you know, and the work moves forward. All right. So two. Is very important. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Yeah? But two can stand back to back and conquer. So two, very important. We can be three, we can be four, we can be 1,000, but we cannot just do something alone. We cannot carry out alone. All right? So to me, two is very important. And in the work we are doing, you know, we are not a sedentary organization. We are moving. We are not static. We keep on moving, going, traveling. The Lord has an assignment for us to do in nations. And never you ever, ever go alone. Okay? Anytime you have an assignment, even if your direct team partner is not available, take somebody else from the group and go, because it's always good for two to work together. You know, it takes two to tango. And when two work together, for me personally, you know, I love to work with people, you know, and when the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned, you know, without limitations, without anything, let's keep on going. And you know, if we all are of one mind, because these two together here is also teaching us about humility. Unity. You know, unity is of a great essence. All right. So, and even the book of Amos teaches us that Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Two. There is no way, you know, you will walk alone by yourself to achieve. At the same time, when you are working together with somebody, when two of you are working, you must work in agreement. Okay, so this particular scripture in Ecclesiastes, you know, summarizes everything for us. Okay, so we now know that number one thing is that we have to work together. We have to work together in unity, because this unity, I mean, a house divided against itself, can it stand? Nowhere. A house divided against itself, says our Lord Jesus Christ, cannot stand. You cannot work against yourselves and you stand. No, and you succeed. Nowhere. All right? Let us go to the book of Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Liz, are you on now? I don't know why I want you to.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Genesis chapter 11.
Okay.
Read verses 1-8 and let's see what happened there.
This is 11:1. At that time, all mankind spoke a single language. As the population grew and spread eastward, a plain was discovered in the land of Babylon and was soon thickly populated. The people who lived there began to talk about building a great city with a temple to the sky. And this will wield us together. This will wield us together, they said, and keep us from scattering all over the world. So they made great piles of bricks and collected mortar. But when God came down to see the city, he said, look, if they are able to accomplish all this when they have just begun to explore their limitations and popularity, just think of what will be able to be able to unite them. Come, let's go down and give them a different language so that they won't be able to understand each other. You said down to eight? Amabele, down to eight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, you see what the work of unity here, when they were all speaking the same language, right? Basic. And they were working together. They were understanding themselves. Everything was moving well, was flowing. But you see, their ambition was a wrong one. Okay, their motive was a wrong one, because they were not doing this to please God or to honor God or to doing whatever, you know, that is to the advantage of God, but to the discredit of God. They wanted to be God themselves. They wanted to oppose God. They wanted to challenge God. They wanted to be God. Okay? And what happened? When God saw what was going on, he confused their language. And when their language was confused, there was confusion amongst them. They couldn't understand themselves anymore. They could not understand themselves. And what happened? That ended the project. They couldn't continue. You see? So, in the same token, for as long as we are working in unity, as long as we are speaking the same language, as we are instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, can we quickly look at that? Can we quickly look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10? Because it will help us as we move along. If you see it, you can read it. Otherwise, I will read it myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. All right? Let me read it from King James. I read it from NLT. Let's read it from King James. King James says, now I beseech you, and I am beseeching you right now, okay? Brethren, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. All right? We are urged to speak the same language. That is to be of one mind, to work in harmony, to work in unity, which is what you are desiring in order to succeed in this task that has been given to you or given to us, the task of the willing women, okay? So that we'll be able to carry out this mandate once we are speaking the same language. And this is why God instructs us from the beginning, instructed us to work with people of like minds. We have to have understanding to work with people of like minds. There are so many ministries, so many organizations, so many believers, so many. But it's important that you understand where you are called and what mandate you are given, and how You are expected to carry out your own mandate. Don't just go doing things, oh, these people, this fellowship, that other organization, they are doing it this way. Let us do it the way they are doing it. No. By then, you are beginning to speak a different language. Okay, from the original language that God has given to you. And once you begin to do that, your language will be confused. Your whole intention will be scattered. You yourself will be confused. Okay, so what we are talking about here is unity of purpose. For as long as we are together, working together, believing the same thing, understanding the same things, and having the same mindset, nobody can stop you. You'll be unstoppable because God will be behind you. God will back you up seriously and strongly. All right. So our complete aim, our total aim is to, a mindset should be to work with one another in unity. This unity. This unity, you cannot do without it. You cannot do without it. Okay, and remember again that if two shall agree on anything that touches them, all right, let us read it. Let us go to the scripture. Matthew 18. Ramosheki Marabusendeleria Mahaya. Matthew chapter 18. Let's go to that scripture. I'll read from verse 15. Oh, not that. I think Matthew 19. I think I got the wrong scripture for now. We will read this, but before we get to this, we know the scripture that says that if two shall agree on anything that touches them when they pray. Yeah?
Verse 19.
Read it, please. Read it for me.
I also tell you this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask for, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two of you be gathered together, because they are mine, I will be right there among them.
Praise the Lord. That's it. Mm-hmm. You see, this is Bible. I'm not formulating these things. And of course, you know, the safest thing to do is to hold on to the word of God. If you hold on to the word of God, you cannot miss it. You can hardly miss it. But if you go by your own thinking, by your own feelings, by your own understanding, you will always make mistakes. But if you hold on to what God is teaching us, that's why in the book of James, he tells us to be doers of the word. Doers of the word, not just talkers. Because, you know, it's so common among us today. We know the Bible. We preach it. Everybody's a good preacher. Everybody preaches well. But the problem is in doing. This agreement that the Bible is talking about, teaching us about, why is it difficult for us to be in agreement? Why? Why can't we practice being in agreement? Okay, and we are told here, oh, but God does not lie, you know. If two of you shall agree on anything, you know, according to the will of God anyway, he will do it for us. So we must always aim at this, work with somebody that will be in agreement with you, not just agreeing with your own opinion, but agreement based on the word of God, based on what God is saying, because your own opinion may be something else, and you don't expect me to be in agreement with everything you talk about or you think about or you say. it has to be based on the word of God. But two of you should always be in agreement. Discuss things. This is why we discuss things before we do. This is why we bring things and place it on the table, and everybody meditates and thinks and talks about it. And then we come to an agreement. Okay? And this is why we work as a team. The work of the Willing Women Worldwide is a teamwork. It's not a one-man show, like I have always said. And because nobody knows it all. God knows that we don't know it all. Nobody knows it all. You know, and we have different giftings. We have, God is careful to give us different giftings. And this is why he is careful to bring us all together. We didn't come together by chance. He knows why. He knows what he has deposited in all of us. He knows the virtues we carry, okay? And he places us together so that we bring everything to the table. Together, we put our gifts together and we carry out the mandate, okay? And nobody should be incorrigible. Nobody should be a Mr. Know-it-all. Oh, it must be what I said. It has to be my way. No. It's not allowed in Willing Women Worldwide. You know, this is why we must come in humility. This is why we must come together knowing that we are not there and the other person is there. You know, we must come knowing that we are all the same before the Lord. We are equal before the Lord. And we should prefer others to ourselves. Because when you come with the air of, I know better than everybody, that's where the problem begins. Just come with the mindset that, oh, what I don't know, this person knows it. And we will all put together what we have, you know, in order to carry out this mandate. Okay? So unity is of a great essence. Agreement is of a great essence. When you are coming to your meetings, when you are coming to carry out, put away your differences, put them aside. What you know and what you do not know. You know, personally, I like when we gather, I like people to say, oh, this is what the Lord is saying to me, not what I think. This is what the Lord is saying to me. I appreciate that very well. And you, of course, when you speak what God is speaking, there must be witnesses, there must be confirmations. You know, if we all come with correct mindset, if we all come, you know, with that understanding that we must work with each other, and with that, we cannot carry out this mandate alone by ourselves. All right? Praise the Lord. And you see, there are certain things that make this unity difficult. There are things that make this unity difficult. Whereas God has made everything possible for us. God has given us all the clues. God has given us all the answers to solutions to our problems, to our needs, okay? And that is what we are going to do now. You know, what brings about disunity most of the time is offense. But we forget that offense must come. There must be offense. But if we have the correct mindset, the correct understanding that this, my sister, what has brought us together is this work. I don't know if I would have known somebody like Masha or somebody like Liz or somebody like Jackie or any of us. You wouldn't even have known me if not for this work. So it is this work that has brought us together. Nothing. We have different homes. We live in different houses. We are even from different nations. We have different husbands. We have different professions. So nothing. There's nothing we are fighting over. We are fighting for. This is the mindset we need to have as we come together. And so there is nothing that will be making me despise Liz or despise Jackie or feel bad about, or when I see her, my heart jumps, or when, you know, things like that. But the devil will always, you know, try to plant something in our hearts that will make us feel offended. or make us despise somebody or make us look down on somebody, one thing or the other. We must come with correct mindset. And this thing, we need to go to God. This is where one-on-one with God is very important. Because as you stay in the presence of God, God heals you of those things, takes away those satanic and demonic thoughts from your heart. And then you begin to love your sister, you begin to work with your, begin to appreciate your sister and know that, oh, there is nothing we are fighting over. There is nothing that this sister is hindering me from, or there is nothing that she's taking away from me, you know. But we have everything to put together to be able to carry out God's mandate. And so what I have discovered the enemy doing is by putting offense in our lives, okay? And when that offense comes, we begin to nurture it instead of carrying out the Lord's instruction. Okay, I was going to read Matthew 18. Okay, Matthew 18 from verse 15. You know, it's one of the references you gave, the reference scriptures you gave. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, okay, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if you will neglect to hear them, okay, tell it unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Okay, praise the Lord. You see, if we follow this injunction, that's why I talk about doing. If we follow this injunction given to us by our Lord Christ himself, I don't think we'll be having problems. And you notice that many times, if you are in the habit of practicing this scripture, you'll discover that what the devil is putting in your heart about your sister is not true. Sometimes you may feel, oh, maybe she didn't greet me because, you know. You may not even realize that probably she didn't see, she may be looking at you, but she doesn't see you. And you, because she does it, because some other things are in her mind. And she didn't greet you at that time. And then you draw conclusion that she hates you, or you draw your own conclusion. But if you go to your sister, my dear, I was greeting you and you just shunned me and whatever, then she will tell you, oh, I'm so sorry. My mind wasn't even there. And by so doing, that problem is already solved. But you see, I noticed in the body of Christ that this is a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. And I keep on wondering why people find it difficult to obey this injunction. Go to your sister, you know, and tell her, this is what you have done to me. This is what I feel. This is what, then hear from her and see what she says to you. And this is one thing that brings about disunity, and the devil specializes in it, making us misunderstand our sisters, making us misunderstand ourselves, right? So if only we can put this thing into practice, we won't be going to places settling matters. Because sometimes we go to a chapter to have a beautiful meeting. Instead of having a meeting, we discover that there is disunity. There is no peace. There is this, there is that. And instead of coming to do what we have come to do, we begin with settling matters. So please, let us be doers. This is just one example. This is just one example. Let us put the word of God into practice, okay? And for us to walk in unity, there must be love. There must be love. Because when there is no love, I don't know how you can walk in unity. Everything will be pretense, you know? And God has given us this injunction. Let us look at, if nothing else, and if no other chapter or verse in the scripture, let us look at John. John chapter 13. Let's take verse 34. Let's look at verse 34 and 5. Verses 34 and 5. Okay, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is the totality of all the commandments. Please, my daughters, okay? Whatever happens, if you don't know how to love, go to God in prayer, because that is the key. If you have love in your heart, the Bible says that whosoever that does not have love does not know God. If you don't have love, you don't know God. No love, no God. No God, no love. Because God is love. You know, and when the Bible teaches us these things, why won't we aspire? Why won't we intentionally desire, try to do these things that God is telling us? Let me tell you, if you walk in love, you will be healthy. You will be happy for yourself. You will have no fear, you know. You will have no fear about anything or be afraid of anything. You have everything because you have God. You contain God. You know, if you have love in your heart, why will you ever be at loggerhead with your sister? Why won't you be happy when you see your sister? I mean, this love is the totality of everything, I tell you. And with love, when you love one another, like when I see you all, I feel so happy in my spirit, and I am never afraid of anybody. I never fear, oh, she will harm me, she will do this, da, 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 da. No, I feel safe, I feel secure because of the love I have. You know, and because of the love I have, I stand to tell you the truth. Because if you have love, you must tell your sister the truth. Because it is only the truth that will set anybody free. If you see your sister going wrong and you say, oh, you don't want her to feel bad. You don't want her. If you love your sister, my goodness, feeling bad is, by the way, as much as rescuing, retrieving your sister from the clutches of the evil one. You know? So love is of a great essence in this journey, in what we are doing. In order for us to walk together, to walk in unity, we must have love. This is an injunction given to us by God. In fact, go and study our core values. You cannot do this work. You cannot succeed if you don't imbibe our core values, okay? Another one is obedience. Obedience. Obedience is who chose you? We did not choose God. God chose us. And why did he choose us? For us to bear fruit. You know, he gave birth to us. We should give birth to others. He chose us. And so we must do things according to his ordinances. He said, Jesus Christ, he says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandment. He can't be telling you to go right and you are going left and you expect success. No. He has laid foundation for us. He has set up a pattern for us to follow in willing women worldwide. But if you go contrary, you know, so in willing women worldwide, God gives us voices. Some people castigate prophecies. Some people despise people, vessels that God uses to prophesy. Some people say all kinds of things. But I warn you and I tell you, please, if God has given you a voice, listen to that voice. Don't look at the person. Listen to what the voice is saying. God has decided to direct us, to lead us. Yeah, we have the word of God to check everything, but don't despise prophecies. You know, God gives us directional, you know, prophecies through his voices. He tells you, and when you see them, you know. When you see them, you know. Don't despise them. Okay? Obey the word of God. What God, you are better off. Me, what I do, if I hear what the Lord is saying through anybody, you know, and I check it agrees with my, I just do it. Let it not be God. Let me do it. It is safer to do it. And at the end of the day, it is not God, rather than it is God and you didn't do it. I'm talking to you from experience so that we will succeed in this work we are doing. Okay? And when we love has characteristics which you have to check yourself with, examine yourself with these characteristics of love. Okay? So let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 13. We'll read verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let us take it from verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long. Charity is love. Charity suffereth long. I'm reading it from King James. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know, as you are reading this, just examine yourself. And is kind. Charity envieth not. You know, sometimes you discover elements of envy in our midst. What are you envious of? Nobody chooses anybody. If God has chosen this person to do this thing, all you need to do is appreciate that person, appreciate that gift, rejoice with that person. It's work. It's not a thing of pride or anything. And don't begin to wish it's supposing it's me or why not me? Because God has given you your own, okay? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Are we kind? How kind are we to one another? If we are kind to one another, why will we be castigating people? Why will we be talking at their backs? Charity envieth not. Charity vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. Where are we puffing ourselves to? Where are we going? Who are we? What are we? If not what God has made us or what God has given to us. All right? So there's no need for that, puffing up. And, arrogance and pride. I mean, where will they lead us? Okay? Love, charity does not behave itself unseemly. We have to be watchful how we behave, how we portray ourselves in every way, every area, our dressing, our outlook, our gait, how we carry ourselves, you know? How we dress, whom are we representing? Whom are we pleasing? Who are we, trying to impress, if not God? Okay, so we need to examine ourselves with these things. Charity vaunted not itself and is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. You have to behave yourself in such a way that God will be proud of you anywhere, anytime. If you come to anywhere and you are known for being quarrelsome, for being cantankerous, for being unreachable, for being I don't know. You are not representing God. Love seeketh not her own. As a matter of fact, we are instructed to prefer others to ourselves. You don't just think of me all the time. Your comfort. How about the comfort of your sister? You know? Love is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. Okay? But we take offense very easily. Watch us and see. Just a little brushing. Somebody will lash out like, you've been quarreling for ages. Okay? So we have to watch these things in order for us to. If your sister offends you, give her the benefit of doubt. She's doing this because of this, that, not because she hates me, because she wants to put me down and so on and so forth. You know, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiced in the truth. You know, and love beareth all things. How much do we bear with each other? Believeth all things. Sometimes somebody is telling you, you have concluded that she's lying. You don't even know, because you have in mind that, oh, this person has been a love believeth all things. Believe what your sister is telling you. I tell you, you see, whatever you tell me, I believe. But I know my God. If whatever you are telling me is a lie, eventually the Lord will reveal it. He will reveal it. But don't initially discard what your sister is saying, you know, because it can be hurtful when somebody is telling you her heart and you are brushing it aside, you know. So we need to be enduring. We need, you know, to behave ourselves seemingly. We need to watch this. We need to be kind and gentle and all that God, love teaches us, right? Because otherwise, we will not walk in unity. But we must walk in unity. It's a must. There is no way, there are no two ways about it. For us to succeed, we must walk in unity. We must tolerate each other. We must bear with each other. We must care for each other. We need to care for one another. Watch out for your sister. Oh, this, my sister is very slow. She doesn't look happy. Call her on the side. Is anything wrong? What is going on? If the Lord will always open your eyes to somebody that is in need. You can't have a sister among you that is in need, that is in trouble, and you don't care. You know, even if it is in paying her mortgage, even if it is in that she's not feeling well, even if it is that she doesn't have enough clothes, even if it is, look into it. Care for one another, because God is watching us. Remember what he says, that he was in prison, you did not visit him. He was hungry, you did not feed him. He was this, that. He was naked, you did not clothe him. And they were asking him, when? He says, if you do it to any of these, if you do it, we are not in competition with one another. We are together. He brought us together to help one another and to watch out for one another, to carry each other along. Remember how they lived in the Acts of the Apostles. People were bringing what they had, and they were having everything in common. You wouldn't even know who is poor and who is rich. But today is competition galore. Oh, I want to show that I am the best, you know, and your sister is suffering. How can the work move forward? So let us be mindful of these things that make us not succeed in what God has called us to do. You know, giving is another one. Give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give unto you. This business of I don't have, that language is not of God. Because our God has. We are not serving him because of what we have. He has always warned us not to complain about money or anything when he gives us an assignment. And we lack because we don't give. Let me tell you, if you don't give when you don't have, you cannot give when you have. You know, people don't give because they have. People give because they know it is God's principle to give. After all, he gave us the greatest, his only begotten son. The Bible says that you cannot have love without giving. He said, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. So we, his children, must learn to give like him. We must give. We must learn to give. Hallelujah. So these are the things. We need to go back to our core values. Take up your operational handbook and study the core values of the Wailing Women worldwide. It will help you a lot, and it will move this work forward. All right? So we must learn to work in unity. We must learn to work in love. We must learn to be obedient. Obedient. You know, to the word of God, to God. And we must learn to carry each other along. We must learn to respect one another. We must learn to respect one another. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so with all this in view, we will succeed in carrying out the mandate of the Lord. And we'll be able to work together. We'll be able to, you know, unite, to reconcile. We'll be able to, you know, carry out, you know, and succeed in the theme that you have for this year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Mama.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for speaking to us from your heart as a mother and as a leader. Thank you so much. Thank you. We hear you loud and clear. The fact that we need agreement, we need unity, and there cannot be agreement or unity without love. Love is the bond of perfection. So we thank God. Thank God for you. So even as Mama has stopped, anybody has any question, anything that you need clarification for, feel free to put up your hand so that she can address whatever concern or queries or whatever that you have. Feel free to indicate by showing your hands. Anybody has any queries, any comments? Any clarifications? The message will be posted on the website. All right. So anybody has any queries? Sister Uche, good evening, ma'am. Sister Uche is a chin. I'm going to call on you to pray for Mama Ebele on our behalf. Thank you very much. She has poured out much. Please water her. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, we are very grateful unto you, O God. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your precious daughter, our mother, whom you have used to really enlighten us, to admonish us, and to bless us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you will release your mighty hand of replenishing upon her life, O God. Father, we thank you so much for this precious gift that you have given to the body of Christ and to wailing women worldwide. Lord, we appreciate you for her life. We thank you for the grace you have placed upon her life. We thank you, O God, for your mighty hand that is so evident upon her life and upon every area of her life. Eternal God, we pray that you will strengthen her, that you will multiply her effectiveness. Lord, we pray that you will cause her, oh God, her strength to be renewed like that of the eagle. Lord, the husbandman that laboreth shall be first partaker of the fruits. Lord, we pray for her children, her grandchildren, oh God. We pray for her husband. We pray for her entire family, Lord. We declare blessings and blessings and blessings. Lord, we declare that her generation is blessed and many will rise up and call her blessed, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have in store for her life, oh God. And Lord, we want to pray that you continue to deepen her love and commitment unto you. Lord, we ask that you fight all her battles in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father, for your daughter. We give you praise and we give you honor. We give you praise for her life, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody says
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mama.
Who is that? Yes, as we move along in the program, Mama, we understand these early hours in Israel. So if you choose to leave us, it is well. If you choose to stay on, it is well also. All right, thank you very much.
Right. You're welcome.
Yeah, Sister Uche, so we hand over to you your charge for us as one of our continental coordinators. What charge do you have for us? Any word of encouragement, anything that you want to say to us? All right. You're muted, ma.
Okay. Thank you. 1 second. Okay. Hi, Nan. I just want to thank God for a wonderful Caribbean family. Somebody put your hands together. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for, you know, what God is doing with you, in you. And it is very, very exciting. And I know that, you know, greater works he will still accomplish. Thank you for your love and your commitment and your dedication and the work of the master. Just today, there was a fresh word that was released for the month of June. And I was asking the Lord, what am I going to share? And I was looking at the church and I thought, this will be a very great word of encouragement that the Lord is releasing, you know, because of the times that we are in and because of the journey. Earlier this morning, I took the time to review the prophetic word that God gave to willing women. You know, I read it all, almost all, to all of the lengthy word. And I found it very uplifting. I found it very reassuring. You know, I was able to just kind of remind me, you know, the things that God has spoken and the fact that he gave us that information to help us at such a time as this and as we move forward in this year and in the years to come. But the specific word I would like to share tonight, the Lord is declaring that the greater the battle, the bigger the miracle. Remember, this year, the Lord says the battle is over, right? So now, the fresh prophetic word for this season, he says, the greater the battle, the bigger the miracle. You know, and when God speaks words like this, he comes with, you know, such power from the Lord to turn every impossibility, you know. And as I'm bringing this word of encouragement, I want us to think about our individual situations, think about family situations, think about, you know, the body of Christ, the nations, the political situations. There are several situations around us that are clear battles. And these are spiritual battles. You know, they're not like physical battles that are going on. And God is reminding you and I, you know, he says, yes, I feel the weariness of many saints. I feel the weariness of many of my children, you know, because the battle has been so great. But the Spirit of God is bringing comfort. The Spirit of God is bringing comfort, you know, to those of us who are in this battle, actively engaged in it. And the Lord is saying that the Spirit of God is bringing a perspective shift, because that's what we need. Yes, we're in a battle. Yes, there is turmoil. Yes, there is crisis. Yes, there is war and rumors of war. You know, yes, there are things that are very, very unfolding according to what the scriptures has already told us. But God is saying he's bringing to us a perspective shift, because that makes a huge difference. You know, And as the word of the Lord comes to us tonight, the Holy Spirit is bringing his people, you know, to higher level of aligning and seeing things through the lens of God, you know, through his mind. And God is inviting all of us, you know, to not see and not see how big the battle is, you know, not see the magnitude of the battle, but he wants us to magnify him. He wants us to see that he is sovereign. He wants us to see, you know, that no battle can match who he is, right? So let that be something that will really, really strengthen us and secure us and cause us to be well established in our confidence that the man of war, the God of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord, I call him Jehovah Sabaoth, the one that fights our battle. He's on his throne, you know, and we all know the popular scripture in John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we know, right? And the other part of that scripture, that God has come to give us life and give us life in his fullness. And part of that life is that the battle is the Lord's. And God is saying by his Spirit that he's really encouraging us, you know. He's encouraging us to know that we have been equipped to be victorious in these battles. You know, we have been equipped already. He has already prepared us. He's already prepped us, you know. Just like if you think about, you know, the fourth man in the fire, when you think about the three Hebrew children, they did not know how prepared they were until they were faced with that those situations. And through that experience, there was a massive revival. And that's really what the battle that we're facing at this point in time is all about. So the Spirit of God is saying there's a fourth man in the fire. I am the fourth man in that fire that you're experiencing, in, you know, in every fire that we are facing at this point in time. And God really wants us to shift our perspective and to recognize that nothing, no intensity of this battle is able to match the sovereignty of our God. You know, we are overcomers in him. In him we overcome. In him we have redemption. In him we have sanctification. In him we have victory. You know, that our mindset will be a mindset of we already won. You know, the church has won. The gates of hell will not prevail. Wailing women, we have won the battle. In your own personal life, I want you to begin to declare, no matter the intensity of the battle, God is saying by his Spirit, he says the battle is over, you know? And the greater the battle, the greater, the bigger the miracle. The greater the battle, the bigger the miracle. So we have to hold fast. We have to hold tenaciously fast. We cannot let go. You know, we have to hold fast to our faith, to our profession, to our convictions. We have to hold fast. We have to intensify our prayers. You know, this is not the time to be weary. This is a time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is the time to be alert, the time to be vigilant, the time to be sensitive, you know, and the time to travail. When we come in the place of intercession and traveling, even when we do not know what to pray and how or how to pray, we just groan. We just groan in the Holy Spirit. And as we groan, lifting up our eyes unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the God of faithfulness will accomplish that which he has spoken. He says, not a single one of all the good promises the Lord has given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he has spoken came through. Okay? So the Lord is faithful to all his promises, and he is loving towards all that he has made. Let us hold tightly without wavering the hope we affirm. Hebrews chapter 10:23. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. I want you to say to yourself, God can be trusted to keep his promise. God can be trusted. He has, you know, yeah, eternally. He cannot change. He cannot fail. We can't believe the lie of the enemy. You know, we cannot believe the lie, you know, that whatever is those lies. I speak to myself all the time. I say, no, we're not believing the lie of the enemy. You know, we believe the word of God. And I can tell you with all faith and assurance in my heart, you know, that the stronger, you know, the more fierce the battle, the greater the miracle, the greater the revival, the greater the salvation. The nations are coming out. The nations are seeing the light. Begin to prophesy unto your nation, you know, unto the even our continent, the continent of the Americas. We declare there is light. We declare there is hope. We declare, you know, that there is salvation. We declare what God is speaking on all the mountains of influence over our own children. Remember, he said, no matter what you see, no matter, don't go by your feelings. Feelings are deceptive. Feelings can be contrary to faith. No matter what we see, no matter what is happening around us, we are declaring the battle is over. And we know who wins the battle, and we know where the victory lies. I want to thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for all the nations represented here and even the ones that couldn't join tonight. And I want you to be expectantly hopeful. There's a miracle around the corner. There's a miracle around the corner. Our intercessions, our travailing, our prayers, you know, our meditations, they are ascending unto the Lord as a sweet smelling savour, and none of them will return to him void. They must all accomplish the purpose for which God has caused us to release them. Hallelujah. I just want to praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and grant you peace. I love you all. Shalom, my sisters and brothers, if we have any brothers on this evening.
Thank you so very much. God bless you. Thank you very much. Sister Enid Robertson, are you on the platform? Sister Enid from St. Vincent. Hello, Sister Enid. Sister Enid, are you awake or you are asleep? Sister Enid. All right, Sister Enid is not answering. Sister Veneta Male. Sister Veneta Male.
Yes, Mama.
Okay, can you bless Sister Uche on behalf of the Caribbean? Thank you.
Father, tonight we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to us, Lord. And we thank you for the gift in the person of Mama Uche. Lord, she's been a tremendous blessing to us in the Caribbean in so many instances. And Father, we are privileged to be able to pray for her tonight and to speak blessings over her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your plans for her are good plans, Lord, that she has not yet begun to exhaust those good things that you have purposed for her. And I thank you, Lord, even as she declares over her own situation, that the battle is over. She will see that the battle is indeed over. We thank you, Lord, for all the miracles that you ones that you bring forward. I decree and declare today in the mighty name of Jesus, all that you have purposed for her will reach her. She will enjoy all that you have planned for her to enjoy. We take authority in the name of Jesus over every thief, over every robber, over that which would come to stop her from getting, from gaining that which you have planned for her tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would position her in the place where she can receive all that you have for her. Father, we bless her today in the name of Jesus. We bless her with the blessings of God that makes rich and that add no sorrow with it. We declare that into her bosom men will pour, and the pouring will be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over according to your word. As she blesses us, Lord, as she has blessed us, Lord, you who are no man's debtor, yes, Lord, you will pour out upon her blessings that she has no room to contain, but you will enlarge her capacity to receive that which you are giving to her. We pray your blessing on her ministry. We pray your blessing on her family. Lord, together, her family will be pleasing to you. Their worship, their livelihood will be pleasant in your eyes. You will be well pleased. So we just thank you for all that you will do for your daughter, our sister. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen. Sister Veneta, we would have loved to see you. I hearing you, we will see you. All right? So, thank you all the same.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah. So, we have any other business, and I'm going to give Apostle Kirby about 5 minutes to share with us. He's the coordinator for Men and Glow for the Caribbean. Apostle Kirby, are you in the house, sir?
I am.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
And thank you so much. I probably won't even need 5 minutes. Thank you so much. And I want to express my appreciation for willing women in the vision that God has given them that cannot be set aside. Okay? Cannot be set aside by any reason. And I want to thank God for linking me with this organization that is sensitive to God's agenda for the present hour. Now, in 2020, we started to have the Father's Day special. When I say we, I'm speaking on behalf of our husbands, Men of Glow. And we have had Dr. Steve Hogan. He did a tremendous job those 2 years. Spoke 1 year on the first year on the fatherhood in the 21st century. Last year, he spoke on the marriage covenant. But this year, we are having Pastor Orwell Egege instead of Dr. Steve, but I must express even to this media, although I've done it already, for appreciation for what he has done. But this year is going to be great, as the 2 previous years were. And I want to thank Willing Women for supporting those Our Father's Day special. Your attendance has really enable us to feel that we have done something well. And we are again extending you your support. We are asking for your support again this year. That would be on the 20th of June. And it would be at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As I said, the speaker is Pastor Orwell Egege, and it is going to be tremendous. I would like you to, we have our posters, our e-posters on the regional chat. Please feel free to copy it to your friends and for your colleagues, because this is a very important topic this year. It is on the Abrahamic covenant. And I believe God is doing some, going to give some further revelation on this important topic. So I look forward to your support. Again, it's the 20th, Monday the 20th of June at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And we're expecting God to minister to us. This is something of God. This is something of the Spirit of God. And that's it, Dr. Jacqueline, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
May God bless you, my daughter. I call you my daughter in the world.
Thank you so very much, sir. Thank you very much. We will endeavor to give support, you know, because that is why we're all here as part of the family. So please, for those who have not checked the chats, kindly do so, and national coordinators, forward it to your membership so that we can give ample support to Apostle Kirby and the program. Thank you very much. Moving along, it's my privilege to remind us all that this is the month of June, and this is the end of the second quarter for the year 2022. So we're expecting quarterly reports to be sent in on time. Please, if you're on this platform, it doesn't matter if nothing happening in your own neck of the wood, you still have a report to submit. Let us do things differently. If you don't report, we will have nothing to put forward for your nation or your region. So please make sure, right from the chapters, submit your chapter report to your region. The region submit to your national coordinator. National coordinator, please submit your report. A lot of us are delinquent when it comes to reporting. Please, please, this is the second quarter for the year. Kindly ensure that your quarterly report is in order. It is due this month of June. Thank you very much for all that we all do. Our labor of love is not in vain. So please let us be mindful. Sister Yvonne, National Coordinator for Jamaica, can you offer a word of prayer for the upcoming global conference, please? And after that, Sister Enid, you will do the vote of thanks. And you will do the vote of thanks, then I will call on who will do the closing prayer. So Sister Yvonne, prayer for the global conference, upcoming global conference, as the Lord will lead you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, bless you. Mercies to us as your grace, Lord, that you would have given to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are to us. We bless you, Lord God, that you have made us, God, to come in such a fashion like this, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for all those who have answered the call of failing women, Lord, and is working towards the mandate, Father God, which you would have given to us. Father, as I come in particularly to you tonight, Lord, with regards to the international conference, Lord, that is ahead of us. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise, Father, for what you are going to be doing. God, we thank you for all those that are working, Lord Jesus, on this conference, even now, Lord. Father, as they seek you, we ask, Father God, that you will download in their hearts, God, what you would want them to do, all the decisions that needs to be made and taken, Lord, may you give them those wise counselor, Lord Jesus. And Father God, help us, God, as intercessors in the various nations, Father God, to support them with prayer, support them with whatever else, Lord, that ask of us, Almighty God. Father, we pray for those that shall do the presentations, Lord, on a daily basis. God, we ask you to pour into them, Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can pour into us the right words, the right topics, the right things, Lord, that you would want us to hear. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, choose even the scriptures, Lord, that they may impart it to us, O God. Almighty God, I'm asking you, Father, that our souls may be watered from going to that conference and listening, Almighty God. Father, we pray for all those that are doing the praise and worship, Almighty God, that even now you will prepare them, you will prepare the songs, you will prepare them, Father God, that as they pour out to us, oh Father, it would have been what you would have given to them. They would have waited at your footstool, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord Jesus Christ, even now, Lord. And for all those, Lord God, who are on the ground and are going to be doing the work on the ground, Father, we ask, mighty God, that your Holy Spirit will envelop them, Lord Jesus Christ, and will show them the right things to do, mighty God. Father God, we pray even for those that are preparing the food, mighty God, that you, Lord, will bless their hands, so Father, as they cook the food, Father, for your people, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the physical and the spiritual food that will be there. We pray for journeys, mercies, God, for those that are coming from the various nations and are going, Lord Jesus Christ, to the destination of where the conference will be. We ask, God, that you will cover them, Father, from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Cover that transport that they shall take, mighty God. And Lord God, even Lord Jesus, for those who are in the nations, Lord, we ask you, Father, that you, God, will bless them, that you, Father, will permit good weather to happen so that the conference may go, Father, the way you want it to go, Father. Lord, we pray also, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will cover the venue that it will be. Even now, Lord, we ask you that you send your angels on assignment, Father God, to cover that area. Cover every square footage, Lord Jesus, of that venue, Lord Jesus. And we ask, God, that you send your angels to man, Lord Jesus Christ, that venue even now. Every chairs, Lord Jesus Christ, that your children shall sit upon, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that you will touch them. You will anoint them. Send your holy angels to anoint them even now, mighty God. And God, we ask, Father, that it will be a good conference. Ask, Father God, that the words that go through, Lord Jesus Christ, may be words in time for us, oh Father, and for those who would have attended the conference and do not know you as a personal Savior. They will give their lives over to you even at the end of it. And for those of us who know you, Lord Jesus Christ, we may grow. Father, we may listen to those words. We may apply to our hearts, Lord, and may transformation take place in our lives. Let us not look and say we it's not us, it's someone else, but help us, Lord, to do an introspect into our own lives, our own selves, and see where we have fallen short. And it doesn't matter who the speaker is, Lord. It is your word. It is you, Lord God, that is speaking through those persons, Lord. So we will listen and we will be attentive hearing, Lord, to what has been said, and not only listen, but with action, Lord Jesus, based on what has been told of us. Lord, we ask that you will take full control of the conference, Lord. Everybody, Lord Jesus Christ, that have hands to play in the conference, Lord Jesus, from the planning stages, Lord Jesus, we ask, mighty God, that you will help. You will be with them. We ask, Lord God, that the nations, Lord, will continue praying, Lord God, for the conference, for a mighty move of God within the conference. Friends, Lord Jesus. God, we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will fall from day one to the last day, Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, when it is through, we will say it was
good for us to have attended, be it virtually, Lord Jesus, or in person. Father, for those who are contemplating going and do not see the financial breakthrough, I'm asking you, God, that you will provide. You said, Lord God, that a cattle and a thousand is are yours, Lord Jesus Christ. You are our Father, Lord Jesus. And we know, God, that the wealth of this world, you pull it in your hands. So, Father God, we ask that you will send forth that destiny. Help us to help those, Lord God, who are contemplating to go, mighty God, and to have a good time in your presence. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all that will be said and done, Lord Jesus, on those days of conference, Lord. And we ask you, Father God, that you will cover each and every participant and every planning committee, God, wherever, whichever country they are in, Lord, even those, God, who are conducting the trainings, Lord, be with them, guide them, give them, Lord Jesus, the right things, Lord, in which to train the persons on, Father, that, Lord, everything will go smooth as you would want it. Father God, we give you all the glory and all the praise, and we say thanks to you, God, for what you will be doing, and we claim it in advance in the name of Jesus, and we say amen.
And amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Sister Enid, can you do the vote of thanks, please?
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for such a time as this, so crucial, a crucial time in history, Lord Jesus, when you have given willing women the authority and the power to represent you on earth. Father, we thank you for those who have come, sacrificed the time, not just tonight, but all the time, to come into your presence, to seek you, to petition you, to give you thanks, and to praise you for what you are doing in Wailing Women. Tonight, I want to say thank you because I don't usually come on the platform all the time, but tonight, I want to thank Mama Ebele, especially for such a word that is so direct and so true. And the Lord indeed has spoken through you to bring this message to us, Wailing Women, that we may really and truly serve him and look at him without looking at each other's faults, each other's shortcomings. I want to say thank you so much, Mama Ebele. And I pray that every person here will convey this to the ones who are not here so that we can all work together in unity and oneness. Two by two, we can accomplish much. I want to thank you, Mama Ebele, for taking the time out. We know that you are lacking sleep, but we pray tonight that the Lord will strengthen you, that the sleep that you have missed, that he will give you a sweet sleep. Even 5 minutes will regenerate you, and you will be fresh, and you will not feel the effect of being up so late. So we thank you, Caribbean women, thank you for taking the time to honor us and to be with us. May the Lord strengthen you. May the Lord keep you. You will not age ordinarily. You will age and your body will remain as your youth, that you will continue to encourage the women coming behind you. Thank you, Mama Ebele. Thank you, Ashi. Thank you, Mama Uche. Thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us here in the Caribbean at this very time. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. May the Lord keep you, bless you. May the Lord progress and propel your work. May he prosper it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you all, Dr. Jacqueline Shafi. Thank you for even the opportunity to give this vote of thanks. I say thank you. Thank you very much for your leadership. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that the Lord will continue to guide you. The Lord will continue to keep you. And the Lord will continue to protect you and your household. Thank you, everyone, that has really been keeping Wailing Women afloat and going and doing exploits. Thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for consenting to do the vote of thanks. Our closing prayer will be taken by the National Coordinator for the Mission of St. Lucia. Are you still on the platform? Closing prayer, please. And the dusting will be done by the National Coordinator for the Mission of Guyana, Sister Carla Singh. So Sister Julieta Jordan, if you're on the platform, closing prayer. Thank you.
Praise God. Good night, everybody. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your faithfulness towards us. Indeed, there is no other God like you. You are the only true and living God. And we say thank you, God, for the privilege that we can come here today, Father, at this retreat to celebrate you, to speak of your word and your instructions that you have given to us. We thank you, God, for Mama Ibella. We thank you, God, for Mama Uche. We thank you, Father, for each and every one that is on the platform, for Dr. Shafi, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gathering. We thank you for the unity. We thank you for the word that was shared to us tonight. Unity running us too in 2022. God, indeed, these are the times and things that we need you the most. We need to be together. We need each other. We need to walk together as sisters, to love, to share, to be there for. And so God, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege that you've given each and every one of us and the ears that you've given to us to hear. Give us a receptive heart to receive and an active mind and soul to respond, that we may do as you have said, Father. Teach us how to walk in your fear. Teach us how to be able to carry ourselves according to your will, not our intention, not how we feel, not what we want. But God, help us to say like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we say thank you once again, Father, for the love that you've shown to us tonight. Keep us in unity. Keep us in love. Of one towards another, in spite of the circumstances of life that is around us, that our confidence must rest in you, that we don't see each other as an enemy. We don't see each other, oh God, as one who's against us, but we must see each other as sisters, as one in Christ. We thank you, Father God. Bless each and every one of us tonight as we go to our separate nations, Lord, as we continue, Lord, to lift our sisters and our brothers, oh God, up in prayer. As a body of Christ, we thank you for your love that you've shown to us tonight. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Sister Carla, can you dust us off?
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, Lord, we come before you once again, Lord. And even now, Lord, we erase our voice notes. We erase every fingerprint. We erase every footprint from being used against us, Father. We take the authority that you have given unto us. And Father, we declare tonight that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that has risen against us, we condemn it in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, we come against every spirit of retaliation, every spirit of backlash. We destroy it in the name of Jesus. And we dust ourselves off. And Father, we declare tonight that the kingdom of this world must become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. God bless each one of us as we go to meet again next month. Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless us. Unmute, send some love, and
God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Have a blessed night, everybody.
Morning.
Bye-bye. Stay safe. I love you all. Hi, Mama.
Hi.
All right. Bye. Blessings.